for the winner by split decision.
It's time for your number one source for mixed martial arts. Mixed martial
arts. There! Oh, Jesus! It is over! Wow!
Breaking down the week's news and results. Authority for combat sports.
Want to take a chance and risk getting knocked out?
Oh my God! Wow! Wow! It is all over!
This is the split decision.
Can he get it here, Mike Nichols? Oh my God, he's done it!
All right. Episode number one.
The inaugural episode.
Yes, it is. Welcome in, everyone. I am T-Mac.
I am Turner.
Yes, and I'm
Anthony. I have the honor of being on the first show.
You're the first guest.
Yes.
And this show is called The Split Decision.
It is. Split Decision.
We really aimed low for the first episode.
Yes, definitely. I'm already dealing with my microphone.
Already got technical issues 14 seconds in.
Yes, pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So what this is, MMA podcast, informing your ass, as a wise man once said, on the sport of MMA.
That's right.
And not really going to do too much of the radio-type structure, more of a conversation about the sport. And,
I'd use the word organic.
Yes.
I think that's a good word.
Yeah. And you kind of have the idea, Turner, about the show, so kind of inform the audience. What's the brainchild of this?
You know, I mean, the way I looked at it is we talk MMA enough when we're sitting around amongst our group of friends, so why not record the conversation? Because I think what we're saying is enlightening, and I think people need to hear what we're saying.
You're really doing a service to the community by being able to have Turner Davis's opinion.
I think so.
I mean, I did not mean to do that.
That was
organic.
Yeah. That was very organic.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. It's about being organic, and I think that, I think that we'll probably have 3 downloads on this episode. I would assume that.
I'm going to say 6. Because I'll download it myself.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. And then
I probably won't, because I lived it.
That's true. You don't listen back? You're not going to listen back?
I don't like the sound of my voice.
Well, you'll get used to that.
You don't even like the look of your face either. You hate yourself.
Jesus, man. It's the first episode.
No, we just got to take a picture. It's like, I hate my face or something.
We're getting off topic here, but it's not that I hate my face. I just don't like the way that it looks.
Okay.
If I could make it less fat,
right? Oh yeah,
that would be better, I think, for everybody.
Yes,
you prefer it at a distance.
I prefer it in dim lighting from 10 to 15 feet away.
Mona Lisa,
I have the Mona Lisa complex.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Filter, please, on that picture.
Do the darkest. I do black and white filter because I have red facial hair.
Makes sense. I like that. All right, so let's get back on topic.
Oh right, MMA.
MMA.
Okay.
So last night was Ultimate Fight Night, or. Is it Ultimate Fight Night or UFC Fight Night?
Yeah, I think
they
switched the name around.
UFC Fight Night 36. That's what we're going to call it.
They've had a couple of those.
And it was Musashi versus Lyoto Machida.
Lyoto.
Yes. What'd you think?
I thought it was, I think that I read somewhere that they tied UFC 169 with the most decisions. I think it was 10 out of the 12 fights were decisions.
Yep.
So, there were some good fights, I think. Probably not the action that the casual fan was looking for, but there was a couple of good fights in the card. I think Eric Silva had a really good fight. I think he looked good.
What'd you think about that little hacky sack kick that he did? Did you like that?
It was okay.
Now, is that something, Anthony, since you are the MMA fighter of the three, is that something, a technique as far as something we could see people trying?
I mean, honestly, I used to have this outlook with MMA as far as for me, where I'm just really traditional. I kind of do the basics. I stick to what I know. And then after training with Tim Elliott, I used to be the guy who'd be like, that wouldn't work. I don't like that. That's not efficient. But after seeing Tim and like how he will do anything and crazy stuff like how Eric Silva was doing, it really is. I think that's how the sport evolves, is with dudes just trying stuff like that. So I think it worked.
Yeah, I think effectiveness is all part of how you use it. I mean, I think if you, from a technical standpoint, if you brought in a technical kickboxer or a technical grappler and had them examine Tim Elliott or Krauss or those guys' style, they'd probably turn their nose down. But Tim and Krauss are obviously very effective,
definitely
using their styles.
One thing that I like how you brought up Tim Elliott and unorthodox strikes. Tell us about the double kick.
Yeah.
Tell the audience about the double kick story, because I love that story.
My buddy Tim, I train with, he's in the UFC. I think he's number 7 in the world right now at 125 pounds.
Yes, pretty good.
In my opinion, he's top 4. But anyway, he's one of those guys where I wouldn't say he's new to the sport. He's wrestled his whole life, so he's a black belt and, you know, a very dominant martial art national champion a couple times. But he's one of those guys that will try anything. And so even in a fight, and you got to remember, this isn't a fight at a local bar. This is in the UFC. And he's fighting Lewis Gowden out in Milwaukee. It was the same card as Anthony Pettis versus Benson Henderson, which is a huge pay-per-view card. And the corner just yells, double kick. And what the corner meant was like an inside low kick, right outside high kick. And he just jumps up with both feet in the air like a drop kick. Yeah, just boom, 2 feet.
He said after the fight that he landed on his face.
Uh-huh.
So when he came down, you know, he didn't catch himself, you know, with his hands or his arms. He said landing on his face after the double kick attempt was the most painful thing that happened to him during the 15-minute fight.
Yeah.
Throwing a damn double kick.
That's crazy. And that's one thing that I thought of is just with the Eric Silva kind of hacky sack kick, you know what I mean? Just those unorthodox strikes where it's like, now, you know, I imagine someone else will try that in the gym. You know what I mean?
Right. So. I mean, and it's one of those things where when you have someone who does unpredictable things like that, that's not something that you've seen before in the gym, mm-hmm. you know, when you're training, most likely. So it's, you know, I don't think that stuff like that, you know, is more of, I think that's where not where the sport's going, but mm-hmm. you're seeing a lot more styles where you guys are kind of stepping out of their traditional sense of striking or grappling and trying new things because people are trained to defend the traditional stuff, I guess, or more used to it.
What do you think about Eric Silva? Do you think now he deserves maybe a top 10 type of guy? Because he got that one fight with John Fitch,
right.
And that's kind of where his test was because he was a rising star.
Yeah.
And then he didn't perform well.
Yeah.
And then obviously then he kind of went down to more of a lower tier kind of fighter. He's taking on good guys still.
Right.
Like, you know, Jason High is a guy that he got a win over. So he's been fighting good guys. But now do you think he goes back into that top 10 area?
I think so. I think he's one of those guys where, you know, they're still trying to figure out. He probably is too, where he ranks in the division. And I think, you know, they've had similar guys in the past where they kind of, you know, they get on a couple fight win streaks and they throw them to the wolves, you know, and then you get thrown back down after you go fight a top 10 guy and lose, and then you're right back where you started. So I don't know. I think his progress is probably where they want it and where he wants it. I'm sure he'll get a, maybe not a top 10 guy, but a guy that's pretty close, maybe a little bit outside the top 10 next. And
what do you think, Anthony?
See what his deal is.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he's, you know, he can compete with the guys in the top 10. I don't think he's ready to, like, climb the ladder to fight for a title or anything like that.
Agreed.
But I think he's definitely going to be, can compete in the top 10. His last win was, I think, you know, over a guy who's not really well known, obviously a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then before that, he lost to Dong Young Kim, so.
Right.
His last win was Sato and then Jason High, which are two, obviously, if you beat those two guys, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you're Carlos Condit, Tyron Woodley good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or, yeah.
A fight I thought, as soon as it was over and I was thinking about kind of where he would go, a fight I think that would be good for him is Matt Brown. Just because Matt Brown coming off an injury, and he is a top guy, you know what I mean? But he's going to be coming off an injury, so where does he kind of stand physically? And here's Eric Silva, to where if Matt Brown does lose, you always want to make a star.
Right. Matt Brown is a killer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that somehow Matt Brown, Carlos Condit, works out somewhere down the line, because I was really, really excited for that fight. And I think that Matt Brown, I don't know how the injury is going to affect him, but he was obviously hitting his stride in his career, and I'd love to see that Condit fight.
That's an exciting fight. I'm interested to see what the UFC is going to do with Matt Brown, because we see this all the time. It's so unfortunate with guys who they go on this hot streak of like a run, and then something unfortunate happens, like an injury, and then they really, if you think about what they've accomplished and stuff and their winning streak, they should be next, but because they had to take off 6 months, it's almost like they just get thrown
right
back down.
They get pushed back a little bit,
So when you're saying Matt Brown should fight Eric Silva, I think he would be pissed.
That's definite. It's a definite step back compared to where he is.
He was thinking title.
He was one away. I would think, or if not two away.
Yeah.
You know, you beat Carlos. That's a guy that's, Carlos Condit's a guy at 70 who's always, you know, always
right
one
there.
Away.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I just thought it would make sense because of the injury and how, because you never know how your body's going to be after an injury. So,
Not
a tune-up fight, But that's how he might think of it. You know, it's like, all right, I am that close to a title fight, so let me fight this one guy just to make sure that I can get in there and punch someone and kick someone really, you know, how I used to. And then I'll go fight the Rory McDonald's, Damian Maya's.
Right, and another thing with injuries is, you know, you take that much time off. The other guys that you're interested in fighting are getting booked because they don't want to have a year-long layoff. And you come back and there's nobody, you know, that you are interested in fighting or you think that you should be fighting rankings-wise. And then you get thrown in there with a guy like Eric Silva, which is a dangerous fight for a guy like Matt Brown who's been on a tear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lose Eric Silva, who's obviously very game. It's... You know, it knocks you back right down to
definitely
bottom of the ladder, I guess.
Definitely. But, yeah, Eric Silva looked great. Another guy that I thought looked really good was Jacare. What did you think about that?
I love Jacare.
Now, here's my question about Jacare. Do you think he goes to a title? Because as soon as Machida won, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but Machida won, they're like title shot, title shot, title shot. But to me, Jacare, for me, I think Jacare should be the one that should get the next title fight. What do you think?
I think that, me as a fan, personally, I would like to see, a Weidman, Jacare, stylistically, I think that fight looks really cool. I think that, you know, we were actually just talking last night about how Jacare gets better everywhere, every fight, and I think he matches up really well with a guy like Weidman. At the same time, I mean, Lyoto Machida is a guy who's been around a couple of different weight classes and been consistently good. So I think either one of those fights would be awesome to watch at 85.
What do you think they should do? I mean, as far as the middleweight division goes, you know, you got Anderson out with that injury, so it's looking like he's going to be out of the picture. Right. Hopefully not permanently, but it could definitely look like that. You got Weidman, you got Vitor, you got Michael Bisping, you got Rockhold.
Maybe sprinkle in Tim Kennedy, maybe. I mean, he's a guy.
Do you have enough guys to where, instead of just giving Jacare the next title fight, do you have enough guys to where you can do, like, remember those, was it the light heavyweight division?
The tournaments?
And it wasn't an official tournament, but you have Jacare versus, just name a guy, Machida.
Vitor, anybody.
Munoz,
And I think it'd be really cool. I think that's a really cool concept just because if you think about those guys that you just named, if you match any two of those guys up, that's an awesome fight. You know, you could match any of those guys up that you just named together and it would be very interesting. Those are all big name guys. I mean, those are all guys that could co-main event or main event, you know, a pay-per-view or a Fox card, and no one would bat an eye.
I guess my biggest thing with Machida getting a title fight is he's had two fights at 185, and both guys are really good that he beat. Mark Munoz, awesome fighter.
Right.
Gegard Mousasi, an amazing fighter, too. But it's only been two fights at 185, and yes, he's a former champion, but Mousasi was also making his middleweight debut. He was fighting at light heavyweight. So he's essentially fighting a 205er just at a new weight class. And Jacare has just been doing so much work there.
Right.
And I just feel like because he's been in that division for as long as he has been, he kind of deserves it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think, though, you have to factor in what other guys have done at, you know, like what Machida has done at 205.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's one of those things where, you know, I'm sure if you're a middleweight, you know, contender, you're not happy about Lyoto Machida coming down, having two fights and getting a title shot. But at the same time, he's a previous champion. He's a guy that's fought the who's who at 205. You know, it's like it's a Faber situation, you know, where when Faber came to 35, it was like I wanted to see him get an immediate. You know, it was like he doesn't need to fight anybody. He's you know, he's an ex-champion. He's a guy who's obviously very good and proven.
You know, the funny thing about MMA is we have guys who deserve things, and then you have business things that are sexy and sell.
Certainly.
Oh, definitely. Certainly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when those two things coincide, it's a win-win for everybody, but except for the other guys who are, you know, who are getting passed over.
Yeah.
I
think the as you said, sexy pick is Machida because he is the former champion.
Name.
Yeah, you can build the highlight reel of his knockout over Rashad his front kick on Randy Couture, and
certainly.
You could kind of build that as
Waters.
What's that?
Matt Waters.
Matt Waters. Yeah.
Randy Couture.
Randy Couture.
Matt Waters is going to become a big Glory fan now that Pat Barry is going to be getting knocked out in Glory.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
But I just think, like you said, thinking from a business aspect, it probably most likely will be Machida. But I just think Jacare has just been putting in the work. And he's marketable, too. He's a former Strikeforce champion.
I'm not going to be mad at either. I think both those fights are awesome. I would like to see... kind of what Ann was talking about, you know, an unofficial tournament. I think they did that at 72 when it was Ellenberger,
yeah.
McDonald, all those guys, Condit. You know, it wasn't Hendricks, all those guys. It wasn't an official.
Mm-hmm. And they did it at heavyweight. Remember when Brock Lesnar and it was like Brock Le- – it was – Frank Mir was the interim champion, so mm-hmm. you had Frank Mir and Big Nogueira, and then you had Brock Lesnar, Shane Carwin, and
right.
then Brock Lesnar won, and you know, and then
right.
they did that
right.
second fight. So they've done those like mini tournaments before. I'm a fan of tournaments in any aspect.
Are you?
Yeah,
see, I'm not.
No, why not?
Yeah, I've never been. I shouldn't say never been.
Injuries make it impossible.
Injuries are a big variable in the tournament, but I think at the same time, it's. I feel like I'm using organic a lot, but you know, it's like you get typecast into like the first round are these two guys fighting, and maybe that's not the most. I'm talking from a fan's point of view. Maybe that's not the most exciting fight that could happen.
Right.
The way I look at it is, if you have five or six guys who you think, as Dana or whoever you are, that have the ability to fight for a title, you should be able to match those guys up against. Any of their peers,
mm-hmm.
and if they're worthy of the title shot, they'll win. You know, I think in Bellator, there's had potential to be some really awesome fights, but Fighter A fights Fighter C in the first round of the tournament, and Fighter C is the guy who you want to see fight Fighter B. You know, it's just, I don't know.
I go back.
I'm talking as a fan,
right.
of course.
And I like tournaments as a fan. Maybe it goes back to, like, I was a huge fan. I don't know if you guys remember the movies Best of the Best. Remember that? The
no,
kickboxing
I born,
movies?
I was born in 1990.
Okay, well, I'm a little older. It was a late 80s movie.
And
Jesus. It was an action movie. And it was a tournament format. It was a kickboxing movie. Also, being a pro wrestling fan, I like the King of the Ring when they put in the whole thing. Because it gives you the, okay, oh my...
Sorry, I'm struggling over here.
Yeah,
Gosh.
Well, it's the technology here.
Yeah.
So, but I like the whole. Oh my God! If this guy beats that guy and that guy
right.
beats this guy, you could see these two indestructible forces meeting
there's
in the
a
finals.
Certain, there's
you know?
A certain level of excitement too, I think. But
like March Madness is one of my favorite things because you have the whole tournament. You're like, oh my
yeah,
God.
But I feel like at March Madness, I'm like, God, I really wish Duke could play Kentucky tonight, but I got to watch them play UMass instead.
When I think of MMA tournaments, I think of the Strikeforce Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which could have been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just that it's a tournament.
Right.
And then what was my other example?
And before you're going to completely forget your second example because I'm going to interrupt because this is a podcast. And but at the same time, there's, you know, the Bellator is getting better at it, but sometimes you'll see injuries are a big part of this, but you'll see a really long layoffs between the first and second round.
Right.
And it's like then the fight comes around and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that Alexis Vila was
yeah.
you know, still in the tournament because he fought 9 months ago.
My thing with the – getting off topic a little bit, but my thing with
it's
the –
podcast, you're allowed to do that.
That's true. With the Bellator tournaments, the only thing that irritates me about that is the champion stays inactive longer
forever.
Than the, yeah,
yeah,
longer
Take
than
a
the
year
guys.
Off to wait for
yeah.
some goofball to get up there and fight him.
Yeah, so I feel like – the tournaments should almost be the number two guy, and there should already be a number one contender. You
we
know
could
what I mean?
We could have missed Michael Chandler's greatest fights because he's on the shelf waiting.
Right.
For
well, that was my second example of the tournament was also
still remember
rematches.
Yeah.
What does it say? That
rematches.
Oh, rematches. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes
they have to happen.
Well, like
oh,
Michael
yeah.
Chandler and Eddie Alvarez.
Which I'd watch them fight 100 times if that was what it came down to.
But if you're a guy like, for example, let's just say, because we all know him, David Rickles, and he wins the tournament. Well, now
right.
he has to wait because there's a rematch. And let's say the rematch, Eddie Alvarez wins again, but he breaks his hand. And now he's waiting
well, yeah.
10 months.
And I think what's interesting is, you know, like Rickles, you know, won the tournament, got the title shot. You know, obviously it didn't go well for him. But then it's like you wait 6 more months, and then he's back in the same tournament,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he was just in.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're for Bellator, who doesn't have a UFC roster numbers
yeah.
wise, you're recycling the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, for like now this is more like LCs in the 35 on tournament
right.
now, which is makes it more exciting. And
mm-hmm.
a guy that we know who's new, but you know, there was a while they were cycling
oh, like
the same six,
Pitbull.
Yeah, like
yeah.
he's been in the tournament every year. It's just like,
I think Pitbull won the tournament in two different weight classes
right.
and then he won the same one twice. And so it's like, yeah, you know, he's great, but he's obviously too good
right.
for this tournament. So
yeah. And yeah, it's just, yeah.
But anyhow, going back to the fights last night, there was also the performance bonuses. What do you think about that? Now, there's no more fight of the nights, no more submission of the nights, no more knockout
There's still a fight of the night,
mm-hmm. but no more submission, no more
yeah.
Knockout. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's I like it and I dislike it at the same time. I know that doesn't make sense.
Why do you dislike it? Go with your hate first.
I think that I think that a guy should be, you know, I use Zach Cummings as an example.
Okay.
You know, he had his made his UFC debut and had an awesome Darce choke. I would assume that he probably wouldn't have got a performance of the night bonus for that. But I think that he was deserving of the submission of the night bonus. So I'm interested to see how the next couple cards play out because this is obviously the first one. Are they going to reward guys for finishing fights?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it if Gilbert Melendez and
Diego Sanchez,
you know, you have two guys like that who go out there and I like that too. That's why I like it. You know, those guys should be paid $1 million in my opinion to go out there and do that. And, but at the same time, you know, I think if you hit an awesome submission, I think you should be paid for it. And
I think
we'll see how it works.
I think what they're, and this is just me acting as if I know what the meetings were about, but I think the performance bonuses were when they had the fight of the night, submission of the night, and knockout of the night. If there was two amazing fights, like the Diego Sanchez Gilbert Melendez fight was amazing, but it was also on the same night that Cain Velasquez fought Junior Dos Santos, and that was an amazing fight too.
Right.
Well, now you only have one fight of the night, so who does it go to?
Right.
Well, that sucks because now you have to pick and choose. So you're
automatically typed into. Well, then at the same time, I think what they're planning on doing, and I didn't read the. Of course, I didn't read the article. But
who reads?
I think they're. I think they're going to do. You know, like pick an individual, two individual fighters, not necessarily from the same fight. Mm-hmm. So you could have a guy in the first fight and then a guy in the last fight get performance of the night bonuses, which is good and bad in my opinion because you know, like an example that like I use the. You can use that same example, I guess, but, you know, it's like, then you already, if those two fights happen in the same night, you already have your performance of the night guys, and then you have your fight of the night guys. Mm-hmm. The other 20 people on the card, you know, have no chance that you could hit you know, a go-go plot or something, and then it's not even going to be considered because you had two amazing fights, and I don't know.
My main thing would just be, being a fighter, you know, we just hope that fighters are always compensated well and for what they get what they deserve.
Right.
Like, for example, James Krause fighting Sam Stout, you know, in a sold-out 55,000, you know, crowd arena or whatever. Let's just say he was fighting for, I think, 10 grand to show, 10 grand to win. Well, he wins, he gets 20 grand. You know, all that hard work leading up to that fight, the performance he put on in the octagon, the entertainment he provided, if he only walked away from that fight with 20 grand, that would be wrong. He deserved $136,000 for that performance.
You're going to get him knocked in the head out here, throwing out numbers.
Yeah, throwing out
numbers. All three of our listeners now know how much he made. Michael now know how much he made.
So, I mean, I just want guys to see, get what they deserve, you know?
Oh, certainly, yeah. And I think we need to – I'm tired of talking about last night. I've moved on.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. We've got the next UFC card coming up next weekend. Mm-hmm. And well, actually, you know what? I want to go back to – before we go into the next UFC, I do want to go into the performance bonuses.
Let's do it.
Titan Fighting Championship, who, Anthony, you're going to be fighting for.
I've heard of it.
Jeff Aronson has a finish bonus. So if you finish the guy –
I didn't know that.
If you're doing – if you just finish the guy, regardless of what it is, you get an extra – now, I don't know what the percentage is. It could just be
– either way, that's cool, no matter what
it is. Yeah, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's great. It's –
because then you're rewarding people. Now you're rewarding – any fight. So
exciting. You're promoting excitingness.
Exactly. So if your first two rounds suck, let's just say, you know, you just couldn't find your timing, the other guy's evading you, but in that third round you get a
catch him,
a head kick knockout.
Yeah.
Well, the fight wasn't that good, so it might not be fight of the night, but you finished him, so then you're getting a little bit more money. Do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think it's going to be anything more than $500, which $500 is amazing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Definitely.
$500 isn't going to make me change the way I'm going to fight. You know, if it's a $50,000 bonus, I might actually be doing things different in order to finish to chase the money.
Now, if the UFC does it, I'm making up numbers here. If it's a $2,000 finish bonus, do you change your fight style because of that?
No.
But I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and that makes sense. But, you know, it's like, I mean, you're obviously your goal at the start of the fight is to finish the, you know, your goal is to win first and foremost, but to, you know, if you had an 8-second knockout, you'd prefer that over a 15-minute war.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's not like you're, it's not like all of a sudden they're throwing $500 in your face. You're like, oh, man, I'm going to try to finish this fight. Obviously, right. You're trying to finish the fight from bell to bell.
You know,
you're just not going to go for, you know, you're in side control with, you know, 2 minutes left in the round. You're not going to start jumping for heel hooks or Kimuras or, you know, You're not going to do anything crazy like that. But
yeah, you always want to, as a fighter, you always want to say, I'm always going for the finish. I'm always looking for the finish. But in all honesty, if I feel like I've got you in a spot where I can hold you down and there's only, you know, there's 2.5 minutes left, I might take the round.
Well, yeah, it goes back to, I mean, you're trying to win first and foremost. I mean,
and really, you're just trying to stay in a spot where you're safe sometimes.
You're just trying to get full breaths of air.
Yeah, if I got your back and I have hooks and you can't hurt me from here. So
that's true.
I'd like to be there.
Yeah.
It's a good spot to be.
But I think that's a cool thing that one promotion
I think is more. I think more regional shows should do
definitely.
Things like that.
Yeah, because then you're getting rid of kind of the safe fighters, you know.
Or your to me, and I could probably speak on this more, but you almost create a kind of – you're showing the fighters that you have that – hey, you know, if you come out and do your job and do it well, You know, we're going to – now it's like you said, it's not – you know, they're not writing $100,000 checks or $50,000
right.
checks. But, you know, hey, if you come out and you perform well and you finish this fight, we're gonna help you out as much as we can.
Right.
You know, and I think that's really cool from a regional – because a lot of those guys, you know,
right.
I don't think a lot of people understand the difference between – you know, being a main event UFC guy and then being a prelim bout on the regional show pay-wise.
No,
like,
way.
People don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
I mean, you guys know what I do outside of radio, and that's work for the Titan promotion and a couple other promotions as well.
Right.
Yeah, and I speak with fans, and they don't understand. I've heard many of times where it's a local bar show, and the guy gets a win. And I kid you not, it happened... 3 years ago, and I won't say the fighter's name because he's a friend of mine. And he is a good fighter, but
say his name.
No, I'm not going to. Oh. I'm gonna spare him for this because I don't want for the other three listeners. I don't want them to
right,
say
yeah.
anything to him.
Right.
But he won at Whiskey Tango, which is
part of it.
Yeah, and he won, and one of his fans seriously said, "Yeah, I think he could go into the UFC and beat Tito Ortiz." And it's like, okay, I get that at the time, you know, Tito was on the tail end of his career, but no, if you're fighting in the Whiskey Tango level,
Pablo Garza.
You're right. Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, well, I think if people get misconstrued with like, you're not rich, Anthony, but you're a professional athlete. You know, and it's like,
yeah, I passed due on my phone bill.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I watched him put $3.09 in his gas tank yesterday.
Yeah.
Professional athlete.
Yep.
But they don't understand.
Beer into restaurants.
Yeah.
You have
last,
done that
last
yeah.
night.
Yeah. But they don't understand. I mean, I get that, like, a fight is a fight, and I get that a fight is a fight, and, you know, you're competing, but, like, the skill level, yeah, definitely, fans don't understand the difference.
And I think, yeah, I mean, and that's, maybe that's not their cup of tea, or maybe that's not what they're, you know, they're watching the, you know, regional shows for, but, you know, it's, there is quite a big difference, not only skill-wise, talent-wise, but just overall, you know, there's 90% of the – more than that, 95% of the pro fighters that we know have jobs outside of professional fighting.
Think about this, and a lot of people, like, this is one thing that bothers me. This one thing that bothers me more is your buddy fights at 125. I can't believe, like, they don't realize how strong he is.
Yeah, there's no way your 125-pound friend could beat me
up. Yeah, he's a chiseled 150-pound guy with no fat.
Well, let me text him. He can be over here pretty quick.
I also can't stand when guys go 20 grand for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He worked for 15 minutes
right.
and he got 20 grand. It's what people don't realize is, you know, fighters, especially in the game, you're constantly training, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're always training. But when you're in a fight camp, let's just say you're working hard for 3 months. And, you know, guys in the UFC, you start out at 8 grand to show, 8 grand to win. Well, fighting at that competition, like, you have to train 3 times a day.
Twice
a day.
Not only that, let's say you're supposed to fight 3 times a year. You go in for your first fight and you tear your ACL in the fight. Yeah, you just made 20 grand. Congrats. You're out for 18 months now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have a paycheck for 18 months because this is what you do.
You can, I mean, you know, you make 8 grand in your fight. You worked for three months to prepare for it.
Yeah.
So you don't have, how are you going to pay your bills? You know?
And I think you brought up a good point because I don't think that people understand the, you know, it's like the 3 months leading up to the 15 minutes is, I mean, you're, you are, you're fighting in the gym every single day, mm-hmm. or you're training hard to a degree where your body's getting punished for 3 months leading up to a fight, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like when you think about maybe possibly walking away with $8,000 after doing that for 3 months.
After taxes on $8,000? What's that? You know, if you have a manager, right. supplements.
Well, and my thing, it's because it's the lack of understanding from fans, because the common person's job is, for example, my job. I go in at 9 and I work till 6.
Right.
So I should be paid for my 9 to 6. Mm-hmm. And so when they translate to that fighting, they go, well, you were there and you showed up and you fought for 15 minutes.
Right. You make $80,000 an hour.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't. Because they don't understand. Because there's, even though the sport has taken off in the last few years, there's still a lot of, not a lot of knowledge known about the
uneducatedness.
Right. Yeah. There's not a lot of day-to-day knowledge of what fighters like you are going through, because, you know, I have to train from 5 to 7. So now I can't take a night job that would pay me $15 an hour, because I have to train.
Or I do have a 9 to 5 and I have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and go on a 5 mile run and then go pad with, you know, a coach or something, and then go to practice after work, get done at 10, wake up and do the whole thing again.
And especially for fighting in the UFC, and, you know, being at an MMA gym, sometimes there's only certain times in the day where that room is prime as far as like talent, or other fighters to train with. And when you're fighting in the UFC, you have to have good guys guys to spar with. And if those guys are only in on Monday, Wednesday, Friday nights at a certain time, like 10:30 to noon or 5 to 7 at night, you have to be there during that time if you're going to fight in the UFC.
It's not 24-hour fitness where you can show up and get your workout in and go home.
At 4:30 in the morning, but still, you got to be there.
You're not getting good sparring rounds in at 4:30 in the morning.
Definitely. All right, let's go to the next fight card that's coming up. It's up next weekend, UFC 170. We got Ronda Rousey, or Honda Housey, as some people like to say.
If you're in Brazil.
Versus Sarah McMahon. What do you guys think about that fight?
Turn on your comments.
I'm interested. I like that fight. We were just talking about this the other day. I hate saying that we haven't seen Ronda tested, because I don't think that's accurate, but...
We have.
Yeah. We have. I mean, she's, you know, but... What I mean by that is, I think stylistically, we're going to see a different test for her next weekend, just off of Sarah's wrestling credentials. And you know, I still think Ronda's going to win. I think that Ronda is head and shoulders above every other girl out there right now. But
except
I think
Cyborg.
There's a... I said girl. I said
I think
girl.
She's way better in Cyborg.
You think she's way better in Cyborg? Yeah. I think Cyborg.
She's not better abs than Cyborg. But I think it's an interesting dynamic. I mean, you know, I think Sarah's going to put her on her back and I don't know. You can speak to it better. I'm just speaking sheer style
knowledge on it.
Yeah.
So
go ahead and drop some knowledge on us.
You got Sarah McMahon, silver medalist in the Olympics. You have Ronda, bronze medalist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Sarah being a wrestler, Ronda judo. So these are all grappling martial arts taken to the ground. So that's interesting there. If you looked at it on paper, the grappling-wise should be even, I guess, as far as the takedowns go. But one fight I think about was Shayna Baszler versus Sarah McMahon. And I trained...
Invicta.
For Invicta. And I trained with Shayna Baszler. I've, you know, lived with her on The Ultimate Fighter. And when Shayna and Ronda trained, it's just two different animals, two different worlds. Ronda's way better and handles her. And Shayna arguably beat Sarah McMahon. And this wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
I think Sarah can take Ronda down? Of course. I definitely don't. If Ronda's hitting the ground, I think she's going to be winning the scrambles with sweeps, looking for submissions.
I think that's what I'm most excited about or interested in watching, is kind of the in-between, the scrambles, the, you know, it's, I think that's where Ronda, you know, just the second Misha fight, watching her in the scrambles was so awesome. And I think that this fight stylistically is going to open up all, you know, millions of scramble situations where we're going to get to see extreme high-level grappling from Ronda, which is awesome.
The one aspect that I really love about this fight is the timing of it, because they have the Olympic medalist, and we're in the Winter Olympics, and the promotion for this. I actually saw a couple of commercials run during the Olympics.
Really?
And
that's cool.
And that's just so amazing for the sport, because I'm thinking of it from a, you know, I always think of every fight, I hope more casual fans will just get eyeballs to the sport.
Right.
And I think this is amazing, perfect timing that they could have two Olympic medalists fight each other during this time period when, you know, everyone's an Olympic fan right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, we
everyone loves slopestyle skiing.
Right, yeah, all of a sudden, we all know how to judge.
No one knew what it was on Monday.
Stuff.
They love it on Wednesday.
Right, exactly. So I'm just hoping from an aspect of fans and a promotion, I hope this is one of the biggest cards because of the momentum that the Winter Olympics could potentially bring to the sport of MMA. So
I have a question kind of offbeat, but do you think if you're Dana or the UFC, do you want Ronda to keep winning because they've done such a good job of marketing her and women's MMA and her being the face of women's MMA and also just an ambassador to bring casual fans to the sport? I talk to people at work all the time who watched the season of Ultimate Fighter with Ronda and Misha and since then have at least watch Ronda's fights because they feel like they, have a connection, I guess, because they watch the show and know who Ronda is. Do you think that, if Sarah McMahon, people, casual fans barely know who Ronda is at this point.
Right.
If Sarah wins, how does the UFC kind of, move from, you have your poster girl who is dominating.
She's the biggest draw.
Biggest draw.
She's
and then
the face, really.
Do you think, obviously the UFC wouldn't do this, but do you think that in the back of Dana's mind, he's like, I want to keep the Ronda train rolling because it's doing great things
because
for the company and the sport, really.
Yeah, definitely the sport, but definitely from a promotion standpoint as well. Because if you look at the UFC promotional-wise, every time they've had a juggernaut guy outside of Anderson Silva, every time they've used this juggernaut athlete, for example, the first one that I can think of was Chuck Liddell. When they had Chuck Liddell.
You mean Chuck Liddell?
Chuck Liddell.
Chocolate Al.
Well, when they had him and he was kind of running through the competition, then as soon as he was getting on like ESPN the cover or ESPN the magazine, he was doing SportsCenter and stuff. Like that was right at the time he got knocked out by Rampage. And then people go, well, obviously he wasn't that good. Maybe this Rampage isn't that good. I'll just wait. And then when they had Brock Lesnar and he was going through everyone, then he got sick and then he got manhandled by Cain Velasquez. Mm-hmm. Well, he was a pro wrestler and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think from a promotional standpoint, they definitely want Ronda Rousey to win because then it just keeps this juggernaut poster girl, as you said, here she is. Don't you want to see another armbar in 8 weeks?
Yeah.
From a hardcore fan perspective.
A real fan, as they call them.
Yeah. I want her to lose because then I think it livens up the division.
Well, and you're kind of, you say that and we talked last night. Mm-hmm. You're a guy that roots for the underdog because you can relate.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So. Yes. Yes. I don't like these ultra athletes that,
This is no joke. I don't even know what basketball teams were playing last night. Some college teams. There was a guy who was playing like a post position. He was like 6'2". He was like 240. And just looks slow, and T-Mac's watching the basketball game, and he's like, I really like that guy. I really like 00 because I can relate. He fell down a bunch of times running up and down the court, and T-Mac loved him.
Well, I hate the LeBron James guys because I can't understand it. I don't – oh, my God.
You mean you're not 6'8"?
Yeah, 6'8", and I could play every position and be amazing at it, and I can jump and dunk, and my chest hits the rim. No, I don't get that. Mm-hmm. I get the guy that, man, it takes a lot of effort to get to half court. I like that guy.
You're the guy that's cherry-picking at half court.
Exactly,
because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds.
Right.
You don't want to run back down.
Yeah, I don't move my feet. I just move my hands and hope for a pick. That's the kind of guy I am.
You say, I don't play defense.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, guys, I got off topic.
But
podcast.
But with Sarah McMahon, I want her to win because then Ronda has to go, if it's a dominant fight, let's just say Sarah McMahon wins by TKO in second round. I don't think that'll happen, but let's just say that's what happens, right? And it doesn't warrant a rematch. Well, now, does Misha Tate, if she wins, does she get back in the discussion? Yeah, Kat Zingano.
Who I love.
Right. I mean, now you're opening up for everyone. Because it's like the Anderson Silva thing. If Anderson Silva would have beat Chris Weidman, we'd be sitting here going, well, who else can fight Anderson Silva? Why don't you just go up to the light heavyweight? But now that Chris Weidman won, oh, shit, now we got Vitor. Now we got Jocko.
Oh, yeah,
now
it opens up. It makes the division interesting again.
But for a casual fan, they go, well, who's the best one? Well, I don't know.
You know what this boils down to? You can't make the casual fan happy.
Oh, no, you can't.
There's no making the casual fan happy.
But anytime any combat sport has been at its peak, it's with a juggernaut. If you think of boxing, when boxing was at its all-time high, as far as for our lifetime, when Mike Tyson was literally knocking out everyone.
Yeah, that was great.
Boxing was the biggest thing, bigger than football, maybe. You know what I mean?
No, settle down.
Like, yeah.
Why don't you slow down?
I think with Ronda.
Globally.
You were talking about, does UFC want her to win? And I think that's just obvious and easy. You know, yes, they want her to win.
Right.
The money she brings in, the draw, obviously, mm-hmm. if she's undefeated, it's just more mystique.
She's a big part of it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I think no matter what, if she were to lose, she's still going to be the face.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Uriah Faber is still a star.
Yeah,
the place goes crazy for him. He loses.
Mm-hmm.
I think no matter what, she's an insane star. And with her keeping winning, it just makes it even crazier.
Oh, yeah. Her star power is definitely not going anywhere. I think she just signed on to do the Entourage movie. I mean, she's mm-hmm. she's making moves outside of fighting consistently, you know. But I think at the same time,
does that scare you if you're the UFC?
I don't get scared.
Well, you don't get scared, but if she's starting to do movies, does she pull a Gina Carano?
I don't know.
Why wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to, you know, go grapple Nick Diaz when you could wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to sit in a trailer?
Because she gets paid $5 million for 3 months.
No, she gets paid $5 million to do one movie.
I mean,
that's fair. That's fair.
I think as long as she wants to fight, mm-hmm. you know, she'll fight. And I mean, it's just
here's my real question: if you were in Ronda Rousey's position and you were getting the paychecks that Ronda's getting, at what point do you retire?
Me?
Yeah, you personally.
How
first of all, how old is Ronda? Because I really don't know that.
I think 28?
Yeah, 27, 28, somewhere
okay.
in there.
Okay.
So she's still young.
She's a young old person.
It depends. You know, are you following your inner lion competitor, which is I want to be the best in the world.
I'm talking about you personally.
Me?
You yeah. right now.
Me being a businessman.
I'm just you right now. You
looking out for my company.
Yeah. As you move your Culligan water cup over.
Shark Titties LLC. I would say I would look at my name as a business. And when I'm done fighting, I don't want my business to be over. And so if you end up retiring and, sorry, T-Mac, you retire on a Rich Franklin type thing where you're mm-hmm. getting KO'd Ooh. Over and over, mm-hmm. Rich Franklin.
Oh, Rich Franklin.
He got KO'd once, not over and over.
I know, I'm just saying that to make you mad. But,
or
I mean,
Pat Barry.
Think about if Ronda, if she could keep doing these movies, let's say she wins 4 more,
mm-hmm.
retires, she's undefeated at like 14-0 or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I should know her record. She retires undefeated, wins 4 more. Yeah. She's still doing movies. Mm-hmm. Well, now when she's retired and they look back on her and she's doing all these, you know, walkthrough signings, they can be like, she was undefeated. She was the best ever.
She's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, she didn't lose, you know.
So you do like 4 more fights if it was you?
I don't know.
At that point, you're 30. You're rich. You have other avenues to make money outside of fighting.
I win 4 more and I go make movies. And mm-hmm. then I also tell everybody I was the greatest ever.
And you're making movies right now and you're mm-hmm. still – I mean, you know, I guess my point is you're going to have enough money and other avenues of making money to be okay. Do you continue to put your body and yourself through the paces of the MMA life?
No. If it's me, well, you guys know this, and maybe the three listeners, as you said,
sure
that are listening, that I don't like to move a lot.
You don't like to sweat.
I don't like to sweat. So if I'm Ronda Rousey, you know, I would win 3 more fights,
right?
Go out on top, go do movies, and wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and when it becomes a stunt scene, hey, my stunt double will do it. I'm going to go hang out and smoke some weed with, you know, the director. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's mm-hmm. a life I want, so I'm going to go out while it's hot.
That's the life I want. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Me personally.
But if you're in the UFC, that's where you have to be so nervous, because it's like, if she leaves, what if the next girl just doesn't have that appeal?
Yeah, but at the same time, she's done so much for the sport and so much for the UFC. Obviously, they want to keep her around as long as possible, but they can't be mad if she walks away. I mean, she's changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Ronda were to, you know, let's just be done fighting right now, she just announces she's completely done. Mm-hmm. The women's division, I think, still takes off now a little bit slower.
Definitely,
yeah, it's still going to be
because of Ronda, though. Would you agree? You know,
yeah. I mean, one day the women's division is going to be just as big as the men's. In my opinion, it's mm-hmm. going to be a while. And Ronda just speeds up that process.
Agreed.
But it's going to be there. It's inevitable.
How much, I guess, if you're doing this from a UFC standpoint, because that's where I always look, is the promotion standpoint, is how much money would you pay her? Would you make her a top 10 fighter as far as pay-wise?
Right now?
Ronda?
If she goes like, hey, the Entourage movie, they really want me to do that and not do this fight, so I'm going to leave. If you're the UFC, do you make her a top 10?
I'd be surprised if she was in top 10 right now.
Wait, you're asking, you don't think she's top 10 paid right now?
I don't think
she is. Oh, bro, yeah, she might be number one.
Yeah, she's...
Oh,
she,
yeah.
No, I think she takes, like, the... but I don't think, like, from a pay, like a disclosed pay, I don't think she's number one.
Well,
right
I
now.
Mean, you know, All the good things are disclosed.
We were sitting in the sauna, and it was so funny. Misha walked by. This is right when we were in the house, and I'm sitting in the sauna with Rhonda. And Misha walks by and was, like, going to get in the sauna. And then Rhonda was, like, flipping her off, like, when when Misha was coming to get in the sauna. And Misha, like, rolled her eyes and kept walking. And I was laughing. And I was like, you know, there was no cameras around when this happened. And I was laughing. We were not mic'd in the sauna. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you really, like, genuinely, like, hate her. Like, you, like, wish you want to beat her ass.
You want to fight her right now?
She goes, oh, no. I mean, I'm really glad that she's actually on this earth because I'm going to make a million off that bitch.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, $1 million. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, she could have been just talking shit.
I'd definitely believe that.
I just wonder how much money you would throw at an emerging star and not an established one like a GSP. You know what I mean? Where GSP is probably making, what would Dana White say, $15 million a fight or something like that?
He's doing okay.
Yeah, oh. So. I just wonder. But anyhow, also on that card, we'll move on from the Rhonda talk.
Honda, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. You got Daniel Cormier, who's now one of my favorite fighters because of another podcast called the Steve Austin Podcast. If you don't listen to that, go ahead and download it on Podcast One. But you got him taking on Pat Cummings. What do you think about that?
This fight reminds me of the Ronda Rousey-Sarah McMahon fight, and I'll explain why.
Okay. I like that. So, I like that.
As far as credentials go, like on paper, you know, you'd say, okay, both guys are good MMA fighters. It's obvious. I think one's a little bit, is definitely more tested and proven. The other one's kind of unproven. But if you look at just credentials and stuff, this Cummings guy really was better than Cormier, I guess, on the wrestling mat, which doesn't mean anything for MMA. I think this is just going to come down to Daniel being, has had more experience. I think he's been with a better camp.
Definitely better camp.
Yep. And so things like that, the in-between game, his MMA game, I think Daniel wins this fight easily, and I think that's how Rhonda beats Sarah is also easily with the same kind of concept.
I have a question to propose.
Okay. I think Daniel beats Cummings the same way.
Yeah.
So this is kind of on the same topic, but getting a little bit different point of view. How much of us talking about these styles and how interesting it's going to be is us being hardcore fans and almost trying to find not interesting storylines, but almost peeling back like the, because if a casual fan looked at Dana, like even if they looked at records, even though Cormier doesn't have a ton of fights, if you look at a guy who's, is he 8 or 9 and 0?
13 and 0.
Okay, he's 13, even better. A 13-0 guy versus a 4-0 guy, a casual fan goes, well, 13-0 guy.
Right,
you know?
Definitely.
How much of us breaking down, you know, obviously we're breaking it down to a point where we understand the, you know, their backgrounds and their individual skill sets, but how much of it is we've watched so many fights and we've broke down so many fights that just the fact that they've wrestled together or trained together for wrestling it makes the fight more interesting because in reality Daniel Cormier is a better fighter.
Oh, way
better. Than Pat Cummings. How much of it is us trying to just get excited? How excited were you guys for the Rashad Cormier fight?
Oh,
really I was really excited. Now it's like the rug got pulled out and it's like, oh, but they wrestled, you know, they trained for, you know, the Olympics one time, you know, one summer and I don't know. I would just think about that. How much is it?
I think this is going to be a murder. I think it doesn't even last 2 minutes.
The only
thing that makes this fight interesting to me now that it's not Rashad, because if it was Rashad, I think this is going to be the fight that I most want to see in the next 6 months of all the fights they've announced.
That was going to be awesome.
Right. But with this fight, the only thing that makes it interesting for me is what if Cormier, which I still don't even think it would happen, but what if Cormier doesn't know how to cut right to 205 and he comes in there and looks like a sack of shit and just, oh, and everything is heavy and now he can't move right. That's the only interesting thing. If this is his second fight at 205, I would almost say give him someone different because Pat Cummings is going to get murdered.
You know, that's just another valid variable you're adding, but it just goes back to Turner's point. And especially with MMA, if you're looking into a fight, you're already going too deep into it because anybody can win. It doesn't matter.
It's a fight, yeah.
Yeah, and so once we start trying to break down some little variable, we're already going too far.
Right, we're just assholes who are just on a podcast trying to take up an hour.
Yeah.
So we have to act like Pat Cummings, you know. Yeah. Pat Cummings might win because he hit a single leg on Cormier in 1999.
That's the great thing about the sport is he could win. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But I think this is going to be just one-sided. All right. Do you want to go into more 170, or you want to move on to something else? What do you?
I'm ready to move on.
Ready to move on.
I just like I have podcast ADD.
That's true. That's true. Well, let's move on to our guest over here, who's got a fight coming up.
I think that we talked about this, and we'll explain to listeners when we were kind of talking about doing this podcast. My big thing was, I hate when you listen to interviews that pre-fight interviews and you the fighters get asked a question like, "What have you been doing to prepare for this fight?" As if Anthony started doing something different than he's done for his previous 30 fights and changed up his entire, I think those questions are stupid and played out. So when we're talking about doing this podcast, for our guests, I want to maybe not ask questions because I don't want it to be an interview, but this particular case, like we obviously know Anthony really well. We talked about the other day and I thought was really interesting, and I think our three listeners will think it's interesting. Next week, I'm going to have to come up with a new number.
Five,
probably.
Yeah, but we'll go down.
But, we're going to lose followers. I think for you in particular, you've been training for, 8 years now? Quite a while now. Like 7 or 8 years. 16. I mean, you're 23.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's interesting is you've...
Good math.
Essentially... Yeah, I just did that in my head. You've essentially... Not essentially, you have been training with the same core group of guys and the same gym for the entirety of your career, which is pretty rare. I mean, you, Krause, Brian, Eric Marriott, those guys who have all, when you started were at different points in their career, obviously, than they are now. And for everyone to kind of stay together in one gym in one place, I think is pretty cool. And I think that, I was thinking the other day about how, with a guy like Krause, in your corner, who knows you better than a guy that you've trained with for 8 years, who's essentially helped you, coached you, whatever it is. I don't think there's a lot of guys out there who have been training for 8 years who can say they've trained with the same core group of guys every single day, for the same gym for 8 years. So I don't know if you want to talk about that or how interesting it is. Or
I guess if you start with... the core group of guys, we did all start at House of Pain, Lee Summit, and the back of Summit Fitness at the time, now Aspen. But, really, we were all obsessed with MMA and fighting, still are. And so we shared, a common, interest. And then we all just became really good friends, I think. One reason why a lot of fighters will leave their hometown camp, though, is you get a guy like Dustin Poirier or something like that who came up with Tim Crater. And Tim Crater's his only, high-level guy in the gym.
Right.
Well, Dustin starts beating everybody up. He can't go with Tim Crater all the time. Mm-hmm. So eventually a guy like Dustin Poirier has to move on.
To get better.
To a bigger camp to get better. He just has to. Because you're only as tough as the toughest guy in the room.
Right.
Well, a guy like me and what we're so fortunate about over at Grindhouse, our core group of guys that we started together, we all went from shitty fighters to now you've got James Krause, who, in my opinion, is top 10 in his division. Right. You got Tim Elliott, all these high, high-level guys. I've always, in our core group, everyone's just always progressed, and iron sharpens iron, and so none of us have ever had to leave. We have each other, and that's really what we need. Now, that being said, cross-training is still something you should definitely do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And stuff, but, I mean, Grindhouse, we have everything we need. The facility is still probably the nicest MMA gym I've ever trained in, as far as, equipment, size, things like that, and...
What I think is also, do you think that... Part of, I mean, because I've only been exposed to one gym, one MMA gym, but do you think that part of everybody progressing along and becoming really good, because there's realistically 10 to 15 guys who are very good pro fighters and a handful of guys who are in the UFC and a handful of guys who are on the cusp or close, who are on regional shows, who are a couple wins away from from getting that. Do you think that a big part of everyone progressing together is that a core group of guys? Because like you said, I mean, when everyone started, nobody was good when they started. Do you think that having a core group of guys like that is part of the reason why everyone has progressed and became consistently became better together? I mean, because it's kind of been like a you know, I mean, obviously there's, you know, people who have got out a little bit ahead, but I mean, the core group of guys has progressed kind of in a linear manner of everyone got, kept getting better, kept getting better.
No one got left behind.
Right. Yeah. And everybody, I mean, it was, you know, the core group of guys, as far as that's concerned, at least.
You know, I think it's different for all of us because my motivations, you know, are different. I had always had Kraus, Eric Marriott, you know, Brian Davidson. I had guys who I legitimately, like, looked up to in their fighting ability. And when I would watch them fight before I had fought, I just, you know, would think to myself, I want to accomplish what they're accomplishing. Right. It's very doable. I train with them. I see what they do. And, you know, you got to remember, when I'm first starting, I saw Kraus win at the Whiskey Tango. I want to win at the Whiskey Tango. Mm-hmm. I can do it. Yeah. You know, then he goes 10-0. Well, then I'm like, well, I'm going to go 10-0 as an amateur, too. And I've always had these guys to where I just, you know, then Kraus fights in WEC, then he fights at Bellator. Well, then I see that, and I'm like, well, then I can do that.
Those guys essentially laid a blueprint.
They did.
Of, you know, here's the things that you need to do to get to, you know, to this level or to where you want to be. And I think
they didn't have anybody.
Right, yeah, I think that's really crazy.
That's pretty nuts. You know, if you think about, like, Kraus, and, you know, we don't want to give him too much credit.
Absolutely
but,
not.
But it's crazy. He essentially trained himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, up to, you know, and we spar a lot, we grapple a lot, way more than the average gym, and we go hard. And I think that's a big reason why I think we progress too, is because just the constant sparring over the years and going live.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know, I've always just thought about how interesting that is that everyone's kind of stayed together and progressed, and, you know.
Yeah, you don't really hear too many gyms. The only other gym I can think of that kind of has, you know, many years under their belt is like Alpha Male, or Team Alpha Male.
Yeah.
Like
that's Alpha Male, Jackson's. I mean, those are.
But Jackson's even, I mean, Rashad's gone, and then GSP was there, and then he's gone. Like, a core group of guys you really don't hear of that's made it to the level of where you guys are at.
I would think that, and maybe I'm just, maybe I'm biased, and
you are.
You know, obviously, you know, you take a gym like Jackson's or, you know, Alpha Male or any of those, you know, and they have, when you have, you know, 15 UFC guys, and, you know, 5 of those 15 are, you know, top 2 or 3 in their division. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those gyms are ridiculous. But I think you would be hard pressed to scour the country for MMA gyms that have top to bottom. You know, I mean, we have guys who, like you said, Kraus and Tim are both top 10 guys in their weight classes, in my opinion. You know, you have a guy like Zach Cummings who's not, you know, he's very close to, you know, he's one fight away from being a top 10 guy. Top to bottom, the grindhouse roster, I think you could put up against, you know, maybe we don't have a Anderson Silva yet, mm-hmm. or a GSP yet, mm-hmm. but from top to bottom, from a quality fighter wise, I think you could put grindhouse up against a lot of the gyms. Our low level, you know, 1 or 2 fight pros are guys who have been sparring Kraus, Tim, Anthony, you know, those are guys who are,
right, yeah.
all they got to do is get 7 wins and they're there.
Experience.
Their skills are there. They need 7 wins, or, you know, or whatever it is. I think you'd be hard pressed to find a gym that has quality top to bottom. When we have amateurs that
are really good,
that could be pros right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and I say we, you know. Like,
well, you're there. You train.
Well, I'm the king.
Calm down.
Once upon a time.
Calm down. Well, what I want to know from you, Anthony, is this is going to be your, what, second fight in, I mean, it's been
10 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time. How do you feel as far as, like, mentally, you know?
I mean,
how realistically, you had 18 months in between your surgery and,
because you've never gone through a layoff like that, right? I mean, in any
kind of...
That
was a long time. Yeah, no. It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about 2 years.
Yeah.
I had the surgeries, took time off. I mean,
was it refreshing? You know what I mean? To, like, take the time away
from... Did you get reinterested in everyday training?
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, just taking a break from anything. I think it's just kind of obvious that if you take a break from something, you'll start to miss it. If you get burnt out and keep doing it over and over, you start to appreciate it less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first question you had asked, am I, you know, this is my second fight in 18, or, I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
The pressure. I mean, every fight I feel pressure. Every fight I get nervous. But I spar all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the way I look at it is, I'm never the best guy in the room at Grindhouse. Never. I'm constantly getting beat up, you know. I'll win my rounds, I get worked. I dominate people, I get dominated, you know, and I have competitive rounds. I know that I'm not going to – my opponents aren't going to be as good as Tim and Krause, so I just keep sparring with them. I'm ready to – I'm rambling. Where is I going with this?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm ready to fight Charlie Dupre. Why would I be scared of Charlie Dupre? Yeah. You know, I'm not scared of Krause, you know.
Right. Jesus, man.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like, why would I be scared of Charlie Dupre? He's not
gonna, I think we should let Krause listen to this podcast just for that little –
I want to let the record show that I am scared of Krause.
Oh, I'm deathly afraid of him.
Oh, yeah, he whoops my ass, you know, but I'm used to it, you know. And so,
right.
So for me, like, me getting nervous, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm nervous, but I don't know. I just, I'm going
to. You, I mean, you have confidence in your training partners, and you know that you've essentially sparred way better guys every single day.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
man, we go,
you own, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing that's so, I don't know, I was going to say refreshing, and that would have been sounding so dumb, but, like, you know, like you said, you know, you have rounds in the gym where, you know, there's guys that you can smash, there's guys that have competitive rounds, and then there's guys that smash you, and I think that's the thing that helps everybody, you know, everybody get better. I mean, there's only, you know, a couple, you know, a guy like Krause and, you know, those guys, you know, they only have a handful of rounds that they could possibly lose, but there's rounds out there, you know, even for like you, where there's, you know, some low level pros or high level amateurs that give you the rounds that you need every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's only three guys that give you the rounds that you need, and then you have to spar or grapple, you know, two guys that you kill. There's so much diversity and so many good guys that you can find the rounds without having to, like, okay, well, I just sparred Krause, now I got to wait for Tim to get here so I can have another. You know, there's so much diversity in the skill set wise, and then there's low level guys that are, you know, sparring together that are getting better, and it's just.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, am I nervous? Honestly, I am really nervous for this fight.
Well, yeah, I guess my question really wasn't nervous as far as, like, training and all that. But, like, you know, this is going to be a fight. Not to say you don't fight every day in the gym, but, like, now.
CBS Sports now.
Right.
I think more so, and maybe I'm just.
No, go ahead.
I think you're, you know, like, since you have only had a couple fights in the last 2 years, are you. Are you nervous to get back into the feeling of, like, okay, I got to fight on Friday, you know, you haven't had the month out. Okay, I'm a month out now. Now I'm 3 weeks out. Now I'm cutting weight. Now I'm, you know, now it's a week out and it's all I'm thinking about. You know, are you at least excited to get back into kind of the rhythm and the, you know, the routine, I guess, of having a fight and.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Not being on the shelf.
I'm excited, I guess. What's your question?
It wasn't a question. You know? We're not doing an interview. It's a podcast. I was just talking, and I thought maybe you could talk afterwards.
I did
but,
zone off on
but
you.
But then
I'm
you,
sorry.
I saw when I was talking, you started looking up at that TV and just.
Sorry.
Anyway. Well, what's it like? How do you think you're going to feel going back to Memorial Hall? That's one thing I want to talk about because
it's a mystery
Hall,
there.
How many fights have I had there?
That's what I want to say is, you know. Almost,
it's your home court.
That's what I'm gonna say. This is gonna be a home field advantage,
and not just from a Kansas City standpoint.
Yeah,
but it's a place where you fought a bunch.
Exactly, because it's
a home field advantage.
I know where the bathroom. You know, little things like this are big. I know exactly where the bathroom is. Mm-hmm. I know all the employees. You know,
right.
I know.
Yeah, because you're not going to like the Independence Event Center where you may have never been
venue,
backstage.
Yeah. Right,
but
yeah.
It's Kansas City. No, you're going to a place where you fought maybe 15 times, I think.
Yeah.
It's home, no doubt.
So
that helps.
Definitely.
I mean, that seriously is huge. You know, fighting, it can be, and I guess it just depends on who you are, because when I say fighting is, like, so emotional, and it can be, like, this roller coaster. For a guy like Tim Elliott, I doubt it is.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like me, it is.
It's just a Saturday for him.
You know, when I went on to The Ultimate Fighter, and I swear this sounds, like, so just, like, dumb and cliche.
I'm really excited.
When I fought to get into the house, I was not nervous. Like, at all.
Why?
I don't know.
Was it good? You didn't feel any pressure? I mean, it was just because.
I mean, I didn't. I was just like, well, you know, I'm so early in my career. Technically, like, it's not like I'm one of those guys where I've had a ton of pro fights. I'm hitting that 30 mark.
You had nothing to lose.
Your hourglass isn't running out.
Yeah. I had nothing to lose. And so I just wasn't nervous at all. On this next fight, it's a totally different thing because I'm supposed to win this next fight.
You are.
And you guys know about my opponent, and I'm not just saying this to, you know, try to sell it. He is tough.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I'm supposed to beat this guy who is, you know, in my opinion, he's just as good as the guy I fought to get into The Ultimate Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm going to pretend he's better. You know, I'm expect that. But So I'm supposed to win this fight. It's on the CBS Sports Network. I'm back home. You said it. You know, I haven't fought. No, you know, this would be my second fight in a long time. So it, all these things are for sure adding up. And really, it's just, you know, I've been putting a lot of effort into this. You know, now it's start. I'm starting to feel the, you know, coming on, you know, the third month of this and, mm-hmm. and yeah. training for it.
Weight cut starts. You know.
Yeah. You know, I'm already 9 pounds lighter than what I was walking at. You know, and I've been walking now 9 pounds lighter for the last week and a half, really. Mm-hmm. So, it's. I don't know. All that just kind of.
Are you a little upset though that the guy you're fighting is a guy you're supposed to fight or is a guy that you're supposed to beat? Like, did you want a guy that kind of has the same hype as you? Because before The Ultimate Fighter, you were the number one guy on Access TV as far as prospects to watch. So coming back into this fight, coming off The Ultimate Fighter, did you want someone else that kind of had your momentum? You know what I'm saying? Or are you okay fighting a guy that you should be beating?
You know. At this point in my career, I should just be working on getting better. And mm-hmm. really, like, my wins and losses are in the gym as far mm-hmm. as, like, getting better. And so at this point, it doesn't really matter who I'm fighting or who I'm beating. I just need to be getting better and getting wins. Now, I would much rather, like, for instance, I was supposed to fight a guy who's 9-0. His name's mm-hmm. Lee Sandmeyer.
A lot of people thought you were fighting him.
Yeah, and, including me. And that's who I wanted to fight. He's 9-0. And, you know, look at that hype. If I beat a guy who's 9-0, his first loss, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it, when people see a 9-0 versus a 4-0 guy, they're automatically going to be sold and like it and want to watch. And now that I'm fighting a guy like Charlie Dubre, who is, I think, 12-8, he's just as good as Lee Sandmeyer.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and so, like, and that's what people don't realize. Oh, 12-8, Anthony should smash this guy. Right. I have a lot of support in Kansas City and a big following, and people, like, just have these expectations of me, like, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm this world beater or something.
It goes back to the casual fan aspect of it.
Right.
You know?
And so, like, me beating a guy like Charlie Dubre, people are going to say, oh, Anthony's just going to smash this guy.
Yeah.
But if I were to fight the 9-0 guy, like, ooh, let's tune into this. When in reality, dude, I'm going to be in a tough fight regardless on either one of those.
You know, it's you win the fight, you won because you were supposed to win.
Right.
You lose, and it's like, you know, how do you lose to a 12-8 guy? You
right. know, yeah, just, maybe he's not as good as we thought.
Right,
all this, all these other talks come up.
It's, so. But I also think that it's, you know, fights like these are good. Because he is a tough guy, you know, and I think it's a good fight to come back to and get back in the rhythm and, you know, hopefully nothing no injuries happen. You can get back to fighting with consistency and you know, you beat a tough guy like Charlie Dubre and get your confidence back and everything gets back on track to where it was prior to.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, my goals, you know, people are like, you know, where are you wanting to get back to the UFC or like, so have you talked to the UFC since, you know, do you think they'll have you back?
Mm-hmm.
And I know they'll have me back.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously like me, I don't mean this shouldn't sound arrogant, but me with my age, you know, my ability, and I think it's inevitable that I'd be back in the UFC if I want to. It's just inevitable. I could get back easily. And they did tell me, you know, if I win, you know, whatever it is, 4 fights, no decisions, blah, blah, I'm going to be back. But right now, my mindset is not UFC at all. Really, it's just get better, improve, grow in the sport. But also, and then I know another thing, you know, is my goal is fighting on TV. And the reason why is sponsorship money. It's mm-hmm. easier to get sponsorship money. So
now when you say grow in the sport, I've heard that a lot from fighters. What does that mean? What does that mean for you?
What that means for me is mentally, dude, it's so weird. Like, sometimes you can have a fight where you train your ass off and you're in this crazy shape and you gas.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a fight where you kind of slacked off in that camp and you were dominating the guy, so you never gassed. It's all upstairs, and that's not for everybody. But for a guy like me, mentally, I think when I think of growing in the sport, I think of you're locked in the cage with a high-level fighter at a high pace. You know, the stakes are high, and mentally being able to grow as far as what's going on in your head. Are you executing things of your game plan? Are your thoughts, are you positive?
Mm-hmm.
Are, you know, and are you thinking, are you a winner? You know, you're constantly winning, and, you know, I don't know.
No, that makes sense. But that's just one of those things. It's like, you know, you know, who do you want to fight next? Anyone they put in front of me.
Yeah.
No, you kind of understand. So that's why
I want to fight whoever's going to give me a better chance to advance my career.
Yeah, I want someone who's going to make me a lot of money and someone I'm going to kick their ass. Yeah.
I want the best record of the worst guy.
Exactly. Yeah, I want if they were just honest. Like, I want the best guy that I know I can beat for sure.
And here's another cliche question, but it is something that I've thought about. Is how do you feel?
You stop. I think.
Yes.
I think no. There are no cliche podcasts. questions.
Okay, well then, how do you feel physically? Because
God, that was very cliche.
Right, but because of the two fights and however many months, how do you feel? Like, how is everything as far as physically?
Yeah, I mean, really, as far as how you feel physically, just depends on how hard you've been training.
How about for you?
And yeah, I've been training hard. I'm feeling in shape. My sparring rounds are looking good, and my gas is looking good. So, really, and my weight has been good too. So that's been kind of it's not something I've had to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
My weight's been lower, and I've been water loading. So I mean, really everything is in line. Like as far as everything should work out, and I just got to do it. But I do feel good.
Good. What do you got there, Turner?
I don't know. I'm just excited to be here, guys.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears.
All right.
Again, I got podcast ADD.
I wouldn't just say podcast.
Huh?
I wouldn't say just podcast ADD.
Well, maybe I just have ADD. But what is the best fight that you guys have ever watched live?
Ooh, we're going
live
into that.
At the venue.
Oh, I've got one right off the top of my head. You go ahead first.
Shogun Hendo.
Oh, God, you were there.
Yeah. So it was Alex Kane. That has to kill you.
Ouch. Yeah, that's the greatest fight I've ever watched, period. Obviously, I wasn't there. You were very lucky that you were there. That fight was insane.
You go next.
I thought about this question last night. And
you asked it.
And I had two fights that came to mind. I thought that
what do you think about Nakamura?
I don't give a fuck about his ass. where was I going with that? A fight that I saw live that was amazing and was very recent was the female fight on KCFA. That's not the one that I'm going with.
Right. Jane Chun.
Yeah,
yes.
That fight was amazing. And if you guys were at KCFA, you know what I'm talking about. That fight was awesome. The fight that comes to my mind is the Michael Johnson Junior Hernandez fight on Titan.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking the Access and okay, yeah, yeah.
And
Junior Hernandez has had a lot of good fights on Titan.
He's Kevin Kroom
yeah,
was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that fight was, and at the time, I guess at the time, like, both those guys are in the UFC now, obviously, but. Those were kind of two big names in Midwest MMA whatever you want to call it. So when they got signed, it was supposed to be a good fight, and it ended up being an amazing fight. So
for me, and this is for my personal favorite.
Right.
I've seen probably better fights than this, but because of kind of my my relationship with the fighters in there, but Bobby Volker, Eric Appel, and Strikeforce
was
amazing. Because it just made me feel like here's our guy, Kansas City's Bobby Volker, taking on Eric Appel, who had Josh Barnett and Babalu in his corner. And
Bobby
had
Van.
Yeah, exactly. But it just had...
hope he doesn't listen.
It just had this, that's our guy. It really felt like a hometown guy, like a hometown team. I'm not a fan of that. You guys know that. I don't like the, well, it's proximity, so I supposed to like it. Who gives a shit? I don't care.
He likes the Yankees and the Lakers.
I like guys who like to win. Yeah,
he likes guys who like to win.
He likes the Patriots.
I don't like the Royals who want to like, hey, let's make a profit and finish last. We're okay with that. Fuck that. Anyhow, but it felt like Bobby Volker was our guy taking on Eric Appel, who was in the Strikeforce commercials and all this. And
he was a big deal.
Yeah, and he got his ass kicked the first two rounds. I mean, he really did. And then in that third round, just the Bobby Volker.
It was a Bobby Volker fight.
Yeah, tough. And he just kicked his ass, and the reaction was something like the Chiefs beating the Raiders in the fourth quarter type of thing.
Right, yeah.
And it just was amazing. And that was also one of my first, big shows to be a part of. I remember Anderson Silva was there. He cornered Feijão. I remember seeing Brandon Vera, obviously Barnett and Babu. So it just felt like, oh my God, I'm at something really cool. And then here's our Kansas City guy that beats the poster boy for the promotion.
Yeah, that fight was awesome.
That's why. Now, I've probably seen better fights than that, but that's the one I always go to.
How amazing was Hendo Shogun?
It was crazy. Yeah. Well, another thing I was thinking about, if you're going to gauge what your favorite fight would be, Turner brings up the Jade Chun thing. And so, obviously, I think you're gauging that fight just for the pure, let's just hit each other in the face.
No, yeah, it was just exciting. Just being cage side and watching it was just, and it was, it was 9 minutes of, yeah, punching. They were punching each other in the face for 9 minutes. They didn't stop.
And even like a recent fight that I saw, and I saw it with you, Anthony, was the LC Davis Ryan Roberts fight. Now, right. Joe Wooster, who saw that fight, was like, man, that fight was boring. But if you were there and you just knew the raw emotion of the backstory, you were
crowd, yeah.
It's, I mean, I was literally.
LC went to his hometown.
Right. I was literally invested in every movement.
Aspect
because
of it,
I knew both guys, and I knew that, you know, Ryan Roberts had just lost his sister, and LC Davis just lost his brother, and they don't like each other, and just everything with that, I was just like,
that's how
hell,
that's
yes.
how I felt with Krause Amata too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a one-sided epic beating, but you know, being at the venue and you know, kind of knowing that was, in my opinion, the fight that solidified, you know, Krause needs to be in the UFC now.
Yeah, Krause,
you know,
went from this
to this, it, you know, call him.
First time when he fought Toby Amata, he was supposed to lose and he did.
Right.
Now he's fighting him and he...
It was just an
supposed
epic,
to win and
epic beating. But, you know, the like you said, the raw
the
emotion...
The second fight was an epic beating.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. The second fight. It just... It was like every punch that Krause landed, mm-hmm. you know, it was almost like the energy in the building, like he'd land a punch and it would just get bigger and bigger mm-hmm. and bigger, you know, and I think everyone knew that, you know, if he puts on, you know,
the crazy
performance, like he's there, he's, you know, he's made it. And I think it was more so just knowing that, you know, they had already fought once and the circumstances surrounding, mm-hmm. you know, their first fight and short notice and all that, to see him get that win, you know, in Kansas City against a very good, you know, mm-hmm. veteran of the sport was pretty cool to watch live. But
yeah. And those are the fights that you have an emotional attachment to always stick out to me. Cause I can remember there's been some victory shows that I've been up to in Omaha that I was like, God damn, those two guys just beat the shit out of each other. That was amazing. But then I think of LC Ryan Roberts cause I know those guys. You know what I mean? And I've already forgotten who those two guys were that literally probably had a better fight.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, I think another fight that sticks out in my mind is the second X fights. Brian Davidson, Ben Nogueras was.
That's a fun fight.
Just absolutely epic.
That's one of those
on all
fights.
Levels.
That's one of those fights that
I watch that on YouTube all the time, by the way.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is what I think about with that. That's one of those moments in MMA when we say that anything could happen, and you know, that's very cliche, but if you look at that fight, that is
Brian
something.
Gets dropped 3 seconds into the
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, I'm just like, son of a bitch. I would
and
have
almost
never
I mean, almost gets finished.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Just, you know,
yeah. And that's what I always think about.
Different ref,
that.
Different day, that fight's over.
Right. That's why I always, you know, when people are like, oh, MMA, anyone can win. I'm like, yeah, look at this fight.
Yeah.
Literally, like you said, if it was a different ref.
And then he comes back in the second round and
just
it was like, totally, it was like they just started fighting.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So
it was, yeah, those are all really good examples. Guys, you guys did good on that question.
Thanks.
All right. So, well, we're at an hour 16. You want to keep going or you want to call it a day for this first one?
You know,
you're the captain on this.
Oh, why am I the captain?
You're the captain.
You're the podcast king.
No, this is
you're the guy. I want to be the guy behind the guy. I don't want to be the.
You want to own the gym.
I want to be the bass guitar player. I don't want to be the lead guitar player.
I don't know if I want to be the flag bearer running around saying
you're
going to
have
split decision.
You're going to have to be. I'm the guy that retweets stuff. Okay. By the way, we got 30 likes on that Instagram picture.
We did.
Yes.
That's
really?
Cool.
Well,
awesome.
Ant's popular.
I like that.
We're going to be on Stitcher, right?
Stitcher. We're going
to. Yeah. Tell them where they can find us because I know they're dying to know.
You're going to find this. We're going to. Okay. So for the three listeners that don't listen to my other podcast called the Spanish Announce Table, we're going to follow that mold because it's very successful.
Can you tell our parents where they can download this podcast?
Yes. You can go to trendingtopicsnetwork.com. That's where we're going to post the show.
Okay.
Obviously, we're in the beginning stages of a Facebook page, Twitter page.
Yep. Get ready to get social media blast.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to see a lot of
deal
requests
with it.
From Split Decision. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to need a logo, all that.
We're
going to
get a logo. Yeah. We got to get a logo.
But this is the fun part.
T-shirts.
Yeah. Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be cool.
It's my first podcast.
Yeah. It's first podcast. Let's get another guest in before we think
let's
about
get,
T-shirts.
Let's get blazers.
Yeah. We almost lost out on our first
guest.
Yeah.
Our first guest tries to bail 8 minutes before the show starts.
That's a good time.
So he's gonna go get new tires for a car that's 30 miles away.
Yes. Oh, and then so let's just do the cliche thing.
Sorry, I interjected. Tell them where they can watch the
trending. trendingtopicsnetwork.com. That's where you can download the initial episode.
Right.
You can also we're gonna create a website that's in the works.
Yep.
Facebook, Twitter will be Split Decision.
Is Stitcher a thing?
Stitcher is a thing. We will
Is iTunes a thing?
iTunes is a thing. iTunes takes a while, though. I'm going to say episode three.
We got to get, like, a follow, a fanship? Or?
You got to request that iTunes picks it up, and then it takes them about 3 weeks to review, and then you get it up.
Gotcha.
But then after that, it's every week. So it's like, episode four or five, six. Yeah, but the first couple of weeks, it sucks.
I gotcha.
But, Anthony, let's go back to you, and let's do the cliche. What do you want to plug? Is there anything?
You got anything coming up, little buddy?
Well, I can thank my sponsors.
Yeah.
You know who I was acting like there?
Yeah, I do.
I think everyone, the other three people know who you're trying to be.
People are going
to
really like that.
Right, that was a good one. But how can we get tickets from you? Do you still have tickets on you?
Yes.
Okay.
Just hit me up on Twitter, SharkBait816.
February 28th.
Yeah, February 28th.
Fight Championship.
Memorial Hall.
Can't make it out. Where else can they watch it at?
You can watch it on the CBS Sports Network.
But don't be an asshole and come out to the...
If you're in Kansas City and you're not going to the fight, you're an asshole.
What's really your excuse at that point?
Right. Unless you have to unless you work nights, then, you know, DVR it on CBS Sports. But if you can make it. Jesus Christ.
Be a fucking adult.
But here's another question I'd like to ask, since we're going to go a little bit longer.
Yeah, we can.
I always like to ask the fighters this. Outside of your fight, on the card you're on, what fight are you excited for?
Kevin Kroom and Goldsby.
I like that fight, too. Yeah. I like that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that fight. I think that fight's awesome. Yep. I'm excited for Matt Riddle's fight because I like Matt Riddle as a human being.
I like the Matt Riddle fight.
I'm not necessarily excited about the actual fight. I just think Matt Riddle's funny.
He's cool.
I think he does funny stuff.
Yes.
He's
a nice guy.
He's got a shroom tattooed on him.
Yeah.
Remember when he was on The Ultimate Fighter and those guys were about to get into that street fight in the house and he was all drunk?
Yeah.
He's like, stop! Stop! And he said it like 10,000 times.
Yeah.
That's what made me like
it. Yeah, it's going to be a good card. I'm excited just to see what it's going to be like. You know, because of all the TV that Titan's done, it's been with Access TV.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of a new...
Yeah, this is a new thing. This is really on... us or them, however you want to say that. I mean, because Access TV takes care of a lot of the bells and whistles. You know,
right? Yeah,
they have a lot of the camera guys, a lot of the production.
Would you agree that Access TV has an cult-like following for MMA because, or combat sports in general, because they do have a lot of Access TV had a lot of combat sports.
Mm-hmm.
They had picked up a lot of regional shows. They had kickboxing and stuff like that. Are you worried that there might not be, I mean, obviously CBS Sports is quite a bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
Medium, but do you think that the fanship and numbers will still be there? Or do you think it'll take a little while?
I think it'll take a little
while. Because, you know, did I hear this correctly? And you might know better than I would.
Why don't you let him respond?
I'm not going to let him respond.
Yeah, don't.
Because this is going to add on to his response, but the televised portion of the card isn't starting until 10:30 at night. Is that true?
That is true.
I hate that.
Yeah. You're
going to be fighting at 11 o'clock.
If I'm the first fight.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is... Now,
or is it tape delayed?
No, it's not tape delayed. Okay. What I think is, and I'd have to check again with the powers that be, but I believe is whatever goes on at 10:30, mm-hmm. whatever fight that is, whatever fight we're on at 10:30,
that's what
starts
really?
TV. So the main event won't be starting...
That is buffoonery.
Well... It's a call by Jeff Aronson because you got Bellator and you got the other show.
And there's a UFC card that night.
Yeah, it's a UFC and Bellator.
Jesus.
So their...
Jesus.
Yes. So their aspect, their thought process was, well, we can't compete with the big dogs, so we'll wait till they're done and then, hey, we're still here.
If you haven't watched enough MMA tonight.
Exactly. Going back to the Access TV effect.
Yes.
Where I think it will take a couple shows, but what I liked the ambition of Joe Kelly and Jeff Aronson is they said, look, when you watch Access TV fights, it's so universal as far as the presentation that you might not know.
It's cookie cutter.
Exactly. You don't know if you're watching MFC,
Titan,
or Titan, or RFA, because it all looks the same. And so they want to say, hey, we want to brand our promotion.
Yeah.
Now, going back with you, what you said, though, is, hey, I'm going to watch Access TV fights regardless of the promotion.
Right,
if these fights are good, then I'll remember this promotion.
Right.
So I think it's going to take a couple fights for them to get the traction they did have at one time.
Right.
But if they do it right, I know they got the best backstage coordinator. I know that's
taken care of. That guy does good work, I've heard.
Other than that, if they get their act together and they really perform well, I think there can.
You're saying the show should run smoothly.
The show will run smoothly. Yeah.
I think Titan's long-term goal should be to eventually get back onto Showtime, since CBS owns Showtime, like you were saying the other day.
Yep.
So maybe they can be the new Strike Force for Showtime. That should be their goal.
I don't think that's out of the. I think that's an attainable goal.
And I think with fighters that are exciting, like yourself, like a Kevin Kroom,
Vinny Magalesh,
yeah, those type of guys are already going to bring that attraction of the casual fan. So
I would agree with that.
So yeah, it's really just an execution. Everything's lined up. Now you just got to execute, which could be the hardest thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think the hardest thing in life is to do what's expected of you. Hey, really? I mean,
the hardest thing in life is doing the right thing.
Well, not doing the right thing, but like like what you were saying. Hey, I got to, like, people expect me to beat this guy.
Yeah.
Well, shit, now you have to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I think, yeah. And as a guy personally who has never lived up to expectations.
Right, same here. Yeah.
You know, I can completely understand
right.
that.
So
that
for
point.
Titan. Really? Yeah, so for
I
Titan.
Did peak early.
The,
I'm consistently letting people down.
I do that on a daily basis. I let myself down every day. So, but yeah. For Titans aspect or Titans perspective, like they, we just said they're probably going to go to Showtime. Well, first they got to do a good show.
Yeah.
So it all depends on the whole. You know, you got to get your ducks in a row, as you say.
Yeah. But, I don't really like ducks that much, but.
All right, well, let's end this.
Let's wrap it up.
Let's end
Pete,
this.
There's no doubt that if anyone who started listening to this is still listening now. I'd be really surprised, but...
Yes. Oh, you guys don't have headphones, so you can't hear this, but I'm currently playing the outro music.
Oh, no, we can't hear it because we don't have headphones.
I'm going to get some.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some beats. I'm going to get some beats by Dr. Dre.
Whoa. Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, this isn't... We're not doing video yet.
Oh, yeah. Thank God, because I got a podcast face.
Yeah. These are $20 right here, so you can go ahead and pick these up right here. So.
Okay, good point.
All right, so anyhow, thank you for listening to the first episode.
The inaugural
episode. As I said, you can pick up this show on the medians I had mentioned prior, trendingtopicsnetwork.com.
Just rewind and listen.
Rewind and listen. Fast forward and listen. Who cares?
Just listen.
And pass it on to your friends.
If you have any.
Ooh, good luck.